I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and Golfer Gal is getting the tour van ready to head to Vegas, so I have a suitable replacement, and that is Harry Arnett from Callaway. Always a pleasure to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk. How you been?
I've been good. Now, we have a show packed for everybody, and I kind of teased this to our community a little bit and explained, when we were setting up this show, you didn't want any questions, you didn't want any information, you kind of just want to talk.
Well, sometimes what I say gets me in trouble, but what I think I've enjoyed about being on the program is we kind of take a no-holds-barred approach, and I just wanted you to have the freedom to ask me anything, and I'll do my best to answer it.
Well, that works for us, and it certainly works for our listeners. The first question I want to ask you about is, you know, the granddaddy, the king, a lot of it involves something called the Zoo Crew. And I know some of our listeners know a little bit about it, but where did it come from and what does it mean?
Zoo Crew! Well, you know, I think when we were first starting to get cranked up on how we wanted to be different as a golf company and how we really wanted to market the brand and create a new Callaway brand, one of the things that we were most passionate about in terms of really changing and setting a new kind of conversation with golfers was to be a company that really the first company that we could think of that would be not only the most aspirational, meaning having products and services and performance that really sat at the top of the market, you know, very premium performance. Was we also wanted to be the most transparent and accessible. And so when we started to think about how could we do that, what would be a way to do it? The existing marketing model doesn't allow for that. And we've talked about this before, Josh, but our whole philosophy about the influence model in golf changing and changing very, very dramatically. I think we talked a couple times ago about the prosumer and the power of the prosumer and the mix of driving the way that people interact with brands and what they think of brands and products, et cetera. And that same thing happening in golf. And we called that the sphere of influence. And when we thought about the sphere of influence and how we could create this new Callaway, when we started looking at this sphere of influence, we realized it's actually a three-dimensional communication network more than anything else. And we needed a way to not just throw information into it or market to it or talk to it or advertise to it. We needed a way that we could have Callaway be a part of it and not necessarily be in the middle of it because the consumer is in the middle of it, but how could Callaway be a very, vital part of the network? And so we really just started thinking about that whole concept of Callaway being part creative agency, part creative shop, part newsroom, and part morning show. And it just sort of happened that started calling ourselves the Zoo Crew as just sort of a joke, like, hey, we're the morning Zoo Crew, and wanting people to know the people responsible for the brand, the faces of the brand, more as people and as characters than anything else, and then create ways that people could engage with us. And that was an important paradigm shift, I think, and a decision where, people wouldn't necessarily have to feel like Callaway was this big, faceless, monolithic, pyramid up on a hill or mansion on a hill, but was actually your neighbor. And we want to be a neighbor that has a big, fun house with a game room and a big-ass pool in the back that come on over and bring your kids and let's have fun and let's play Golden Tee together and let's talk smack together and let's talk trash together. And at the end of the day, let's drink a bunch of beer together and we'll do it all again next weekend. And the more we started talking about that, that's when we really started to get a lot more excited about creating, like, really the first morning show in golf, you know, and, you know, Zucre is a dumb name, but we kind of fell in love with it just because we called ourselves that for a while, and there we have it. So we wake up in, you know, September 2013, and that term is a term that people are using. They're calling us the Zoo Crew. Our CEO is talking about the Zoo Crew on analyst calls to Wall Street. So it's pretty fun. It really has, like, broken, I think, through on and really started to resonate with people that, wow, this is a different thing than I'm used to experiencing with the company.
Now, you mentioned people coming over and enjoying the pool. Is it true that Chad's not allowed to hang out with the children?
He just doesn't like getting his hair wet, so he doesn't go in the pool. Yeah, we don't let Chad. Two kids, they're not allowed to go near Chad.
Now,
bad things happen when you spend too much time with Chad.
Two things come to mind when thinking of this. The first being, you know, when you and I first started talking about the Zoo Crew and about the direction, and how I said I had this idea for an event, and it molded into what is now the Granddaddy, which is coming up soon. And, you know, everybody's excited about that. But before we got on the show, we had some exciting news that you and I both agree the Granddaddy should be done again in 2014.
Why not? Here's what I feel like. I know the Zoo Crew will be victorious in December. I just, you know, there are a few things that I know in my heart.
Now, before you know it,
that,
Chad is on your team.
Hey, hang on. Don't interrupt me. I know in my heart of hearts the sun is going to come up. That's just science. I know that every year I have to pay taxes. That's just the law. I know that I will eventually die. That's just, you know, physiology and human condition. And I know the Zoo Crew will win. So I felt like, you know, it would not be the honorable thing to not at least give Hackers Paradise and the dream team of losers the opportunity to try to come back and win the title next year. So let's do it again.
So, but is it true, the rumor, that you're going to ask Chad to sit out because otherwise the event wouldn't finish before Christmas?
Yeah, or we'll have to do it on June 21st, the summer solstice, the longest day of the year.
So, switching gears from that, we have another event coming up, and there's no teams yet or anything like that, but you and Chad are going to, you know, get in the steel cage and go at it in the King.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be a lot coming out about this, but what we can tell the listeners now is that it's full on. These two are going to go at it for the months leading up to it, as well as on the golf course. The Zoo Crew, THP, they're all going to be there as part of it, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
My boss, Chip Brewer, laughs because he says, probably monthly, you really enjoy having the big chair in with our brand and marketing, because basically you do what you want and people have to do it. And I laugh, and usually that comes with something that he's going to reprimand me about. But, you know, it's always been, and I'll step back into character here in a second, but I've always, and you know this because we've talked about it, but I grew up loving professional wrestling. I mean, the things I loved watching most on TV as a kid were Major League Baseball and pro wrestling. And I always thought it would be fun and outrageous to bring some of that to golf. And, you know, you don't do that in advertising. You don't do that. We're certainly not going to have our tour players running around in, you know, robes and their faces painted. Oh, sorry, I guess people do that. But we wouldn't have them running around in robes, at least. And but we did a championship belt this year that our tour players are competing for. And we thought it'd be awesome to bring a little bit of the pro wrestling mentality and the competitive spirit and just the smack talking into an event like this with you guys. And I know that you're not above vaudevillian tactics. So, and the outrageousness of it. So yeah, the king is going to be, it's different. It'll be different from the Granddaddy.
Oh, it's definitely different.
And the more that Chad and I started to really fall in love with the new characters we were playing, we actually started to see that kind of reflect itself and become reality. So I was starting to yell at him legitimately around the office and interfere. But we've had a lot of fun with that, and I think people are really going to like it. And I think, just like I was talking about with the Zoo Crew, I think people will really appreciate how different it is, and hopefully the folks that are there will, you know, enjoy that experience too as much as we're having with planning it.
Now,
did you notice how I just went through like 5 minutes of conversation without ever revealing anything specifically about it? That's called golf marketing. Thank you.
It's called something. I got a note passed to me, and I'm supposed to interrupt you rudely so you can lay into Chad in character. But
this just across the newswire.
Just across the newswire, and by newswire, yep, I mean my phone, that we can also announce that you guys are going to participate in the 2014 Morgan Cup.
Boom! We're back in. Why would we leave?
Well, you've been in all of them. You never abandoned it.
I know. Well, I went this year to one of our invitationals, I guess,
mm-hmm,
in Texas, and it was, I don't know, what was the wind that day, JB? I think it was like blowing about 60 miles per hour.
Something like, they got to make Texas courses hard somehow, right?
Yeah, and we played, I think our round was like 7 hours, which now I know is because Chad was playing with us. And then, so we're excited to be back in the Morgan Cup. I think everybody enjoys that here. It's a lot of fun for us, too. We get to engage with the people that are on the team, and that's how I've gotten to meet most of the people that, you know, from THP is through that event. And then, you know, the best part of all is we believe we get to arm Team Callaway with the best equipment in the world, bar none. And so, you know, just like the granddaddy, we think everybody else will play for second. So we're happy to be back. Thanks for having us.
Now, shifting gears to equipment, because, you know, our listeners want to hear all about it.
Yeah.
Hogan Apex got kind of teased yesterday. It was put up. We know that we had a group of people around who got to hit it before anybody else, and they were raving about it. What made the timing right to bring back the Apex line now?
Let me take it up a level, and this will feel a little, you know, preamble-ish, but 1 year ago, we had a sales meeting, and this just kind of happened, but I was on the stage and was talking about where we were as a company, Callaway, and where we were going, and what our plans were, and trying to help create a picture and a vision for, you know, where Chip's vision was for Callaway and where our executive team vision was for Callaway. And a lot of it talked about this 5-year plan that we had that was going to get us back to the top of the industry and where we were for many, many years. And we called that the 5-year war. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you were actually the first guy to ever ask me about the 5-year war. I don't even know how you found out about it, but you asked me. But and one of the things that people thought, and I guess why wouldn't they thought we were talking about going to war with other companies, and really weren't, to be honest with you. We were really talking about how do we create a different kind of Callaway, and how do we destroy and fight against the things that really were holding us back as a company, like being bureaucratic and being slow and being more interested in the way we do things and less interested about what's really going to create value and excitement and energy for the golfer. And so as we entered into year one of that 5-year war, which is this year, 2013, one of the things was we really have to show people that we have, you know, we are capable of making golf products that can dramatically outperform the competition. And in some key categories, we were able to do that in 2013. You know, we doubled our fairway business. X-Hot Fairway is by far the best fairway wood in the world. Our iron business increased. We've grown share in every category from the beginning of the year. I think we're the only golf company that can say that. We had a versatile line of putters that really introduced the concept of alignment, simple alignment to putters for the first time, and it quickly became the fastest selling putter in the world. And and on the PGA Tour is fastest growing on the PGA Tour. We had the tank putter, which introduced kind of heavy counterbalance concept to the world as well. So we had these really some key areas where we felt like we could do that. And in year two, when we were talking about year two of this five-year war, year two was about in every category that we compete in, we believe the Callaway will have the best performing products in every category, bar none. And with that, won't just be better versions of things we've done before, but would be radically new innovations in performance in categories. And you're going to see that with Callaway in year two. And that's why our the phrase that we've actually been using, believe it or not, has been, you ready for it, Mongolian reversal. So the Mongolian reversal for golfers, you know, this is when your opponent thinks that he has you down and he's got a 20-foot putt for birdie, you're buried in a bunker, you hit it to a foot, you make par, he free putts, you win the hole, that's a Mongolian reversal. So we feel like we have a Mongolian reversal on the industry, at least, where we feel like in every single category, even when we're not the market share leader.
All these creative minds at work, and these are the two names you come up with, Mongolian reversal and Zucker.
I told you that we like professional wrestling. So we can't. So with the Apex Iron, we're bringing distance, forgiveness, and really kind of dramatic performance in the iron category in a forged iron for the first time. And there are a lot of people out there, JB, frankly, that are thinking that you can't have that in a forged iron. The conventionalism is you can't. There are people that are actually saying that publicly. You can't have the forged iron can't deliver ball speed and performance and distance and forgiveness and all that stuff. It's the forged as a technology is dead. And so Callaway will be proving that wrong. It represents what we think is the high watermark in golf, in iron innovation and technology and performance. And when we thought of that, we thought that's the Apex. That is the old Apex iron from Hogan represented that for years and years and years. And we felt like it was time to put that name on the iron because we really believe that, you know, the largest and deepest equipment R&D in the world has created the best iron that's ever been created. So we put Apex on it. And I think that's what the folks down at the Ultimate Equipment Testing were seeing was
they were
all of the stuff that I just said in a forged iron is almost too hard to believe.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, people came away shaking their head as if to say, I didn't come here expecting to fall in love, quote, I'm doing finger quotes, fall in love, quote unquote, and did. And, you know, they'll have their sets to review coming up soon. I know Callaway's building them now. But, you know, it's an interesting shift. And I know 2014, you said the last time you were on, you're so excited about the equipment coming in 2014 that you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but it's just game changing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think the winner here is going to be the golfer because I know other companies are going to have great stuff too. And the key is, I tell this to everybody, is don't just take our words for it. Don't just play something because I or somebody else is telling you that it's the best. Get it. Go into the hitting bay. Go into the, onto the driving range. If you can, play around with it. Because anybody can get a good launch monitor number, you know, one out of 20 shots in a launch monitor. Golf's not played in a launch monitor. So go try it out on the golf course. And there's going to be, you know, I know Callaway is going to be bringing it. And I know other companies are going to be bringing it. So, you know, for the golf enthusiast, the avid golfer, the prosumer, 2014 is going to be light years ahead of where 2013 is. And 2013 was a hell of a year in terms of performance.
Well, we're going to hope Mother Nature cooperates as well. Now we're going.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, everybody, you know, it's been well documented. This was a crappy year weather-wise, and that gives us even more confidence because we've had a very, very good year. We have incredible momentum as a brand, as a company, and we did it in a year where the weather was really bad, and, you know, the weather, you don't have to go very far. Just read the news. Just see how the weather has affected other companies, not even in golf, but outside of golf. And we've had a really strong year just in year one here. So year two, we know it's going to be even better because we have much, much better performance even than we had in 2013, and hopefully the weather will pick up. And, I mean, I'm fortunate I live in Southern California, so it rains like 4 days out of the year. But you look around the country, and, you know, guys like Buck Job on your forums up there in Pennsylvania, they've had like the worst weather of anybody. It rains like every day for the summer.
And he's a fireman. You'd think there'd be no fires.
It's crazy. I know. So I think he's just like sitting around watching TV in the firehouse because all the rain's putting the fire out. But no, somehow he's working every day too. So next year is going to be, it has to be better weather-wise because it can't be worse, he said. I think I just jinxed us. That's such a Chad thing I just did.
It is a Chad thing.
So I'll have to reverse that somehow. But we'll have a better year, and I'm jacked up. I hope you guys are because
I
can't wait to get to that PGA show and show what we've got to everybody, and you guys will be there. And I know we got a long way to go. We still have to – we'll be walking around with that granddaddy belt on and showing off the trophies, at least the Zoo Crew will. And it's just it's just a really great time to be in golf and excited about golf.
I can tell you right now, here it is. If the Dream Team takes you guys down at the Granddaddy, I will have Morgan wear the belt for the entire PGA show.
It'd almost be worth throwing the match just to see that.
We'll let her wear it when we have it
prominently displayed in the Callaway booth there at the PGA show, showing off our victory.
So we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to do something with you I haven't done before on the show, and that is rapid fire. I'm going to ask you some questions. You just say the first thing that comes to your mind because, you know, I think people – we can tell them it's unscripted, and it really is. I mean, we just – I emailed you and said – actually, I think I sent you a text message and said, you want to do the radio show? You said yes, and I said, what do you want to talk about? You said, I don't care. Ask me anything you want, and I said, that sounds good to us. That's really how it goes.
Okay. And
so here we go. Apex irons, are they the best iron set Callaway's ever produced?
Oh, no question. By far. I mean, full stop. You guys will see that. I think the guys saw that when they were down in Florida trying it. You really aren't going to believe that you can get all this distance and performance in a Forged iron. So that's the layup.
When walking around the office, do you ever really want to tackle Chad based on all the videos you did?
How do you know I haven't? And yes, he's one of those guys that I hate people that everyone likes, so I immediately hate Chad.
He is pretty likable.
Yeah.
5-year war, year one, is it Charlie Sheen hashtag winning or Charlie Sheen in rehab?
Hashtag winning, you'll see that. I'm not allowed to talk specifics, but we've been really proud of the year we've had, particularly in light of the things that we mentioned with the weather and then some other things that people don't even probably pay much attention to, especially in the U.S., but foreign currency has been really a pretty strong headwind for us. If you listen to our analyst calls once a quarter, one thing about Callaway is we have to reveal our results every quarter. So we've had a tremendous year. We have incredible momentum as a brand, which is great, and we're still humble. And as Chip would say, we've just basically stopped kicking our own ass. So, we're looking for more of that in year two.
When you see companies, meaning other than Callaway, launching new products, is your first reaction kind of shaking your head, or is your first reaction like, that's pretty good?
Yeah, I never shake my head. I think I always try to look at it through the eyes of the consumer. And because if you look at it through competitive eyes, you immediately are going to have it support whatever position you're holding onto. So I always try to look at it through the eyes of the consumer and try to be critical as a consumer would and as a critical shopper would. And that's usually a pretty good strategy because you can kind of see how it's positioned, whether you think it's going to work or not. And then, the second side is a lot of times you can't help but being an industry insider thinking, oh, that was done for financial reasons, or that's a pull forward, or that's a bridge product, or you know, the things that people talk about in our industry kind of endemically between, you know, customers or whatever. But I usually will always try to put myself into the shoes of the consumer. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I was a consumer buying golf products. So I usually try to put that hat on to try to figure out whether I think something is going to be cool or successful or work.
Now, this is a kind of a long question. Have you ever had a product launch that you absolutely loved and you watched it, I won't say fail miserably, but kind of fail? And at the flip side of that is, have you ever had a product that you launched not do well, but the company went away from the direction that you wanted to go?
Yeah, I think, I mean, on both accounts, and I can't think specifically of one that I felt like would be a home run that wasn't a home run, that, you know, at Callaway necessarily, because, you know, we focused everything this year into, we had a lot fewer products this year that we were launching. I know that seems weird since we had, you know, X-Hot Pro and X-Hot, the 3D and all that stuff coming, but I, and there have been a few things I think that I've been a part of where I really felt like this would be a cool direction to go in, and we didn't, or we moved away from it. So that happens, yeah. I mean, that's, and sometimes it's disappointing because as a golfer, you know, you're like, oh, this is going to be really cool. And then it's, you know, it doesn't really pan out that way. And then you're like, well, what are you going to do now? But, you know, I'm trying to think if there was anything this year with Callaway that I felt like, you know, we launched the Hex Chrome ball. I knew that would be the Hex Chrome Plus. I thought that would be a really good ball for people. That's a, you know, kind of a distance tour ball. At a good price. I knew that would do well, and it has. Our X-Hot, yeah, the Y-Hot Pro is a putter that I thought would do well. That got off to actually a slower start. That kind of surprised me a little bit. That was more weather-related than anything else, because that's picking up steam now, but those are kind of the ones in recent memory. And then I knew the X-Hot family would be a home run. Oh, I'll tell you one that is in our lineup now that has really surprised me how well it's done, not because it's a bad product, just because of how broad a target it was the X-Hot Pro Iron. Because anytime you stick, you know, pro on something, or people look at that game, that kind of game improvement category, and you've got a thinner top line and less offset, and it, you know, when you compare it to X-Hot, it looks like it's going to be hard to hit. But that iron has sold almost as well as the X-Hot iron has. And I wasn't playing that early, and I am now. And, you know, it's, that iron has done really, really well. So that one surprised me, I think, by how well it did. And then I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's calorie related that's out there now, but, I don't know if that answered your question or not.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Now, I've said previously, shifting gears, is still part of this rapid fire, that while I love the PGA Tour playoffs, I find the term playoffs insulting because they're really just competing for a pile of cash. Now, in every other sport, you're competing for something that means something, the championship, as, if you wish, and that I believe player of the year would be a perfect thing to connect to it. And the argument always against it is, well, they're only playing well for 4 weeks, but that's really how you win player of the year anyway, is by winning at a couple of majors. Are you pro or against, or for or against play, the FedEx Cup?
I like it. I like, they had to do something, first of all. Let's acknowledge that.
Right.
Guys were not playing, and, you know, the key players were not playing at the end of the year. We had, you know, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where Phil, Tiger weren't even playing in the Tour Championship. So I like the thought of it. I agree. It doesn't feel like the playoffs. I think they ought to do something that's more dramatic, where they make the cuts even more severe. So, you know, go from 140 to 50 to 25 to maybe the last event is 10 guys and 10 guys only. And, you know, make every shot, every round matter. So maybe they do, and I'm making all this stuff up as we go, but maybe it's a cut. There's a cut after every round. So if you shoot 75 yesterday, like Tiger did, in round one or whatever, then you're out. Your pack, your chunk's landing. And the payoff at the end is still that big nut to get people to come. But make it a more exciting so that, just like the playoffs, I mean, think about your teams when they're playing the playoffs. And I'm an Atlanta fan across the board, so I'm constantly being let down in the playoffs. But in NFL playoffs, every drive matters, you know? Every drive when you get the ball matters. And in baseball, there's nothing more intense than it's an inning-by-inning intensity. Think of, like, the NHL playoffs. That literally is every game, every quarter, every minute has 20 times the energy and excitement. And golf's just not like that. The sport's not like that. So,
but we're talking about sports.
Something
hockey
around
doesn't
it
really
that
fall
makes
into
that
place.
Way. Make the last round, eliminate it. So the last day it's two guys, and those two guys go head-to-head for nine holes of match play for $10 million. I would watch that. That would be sweet.
If they do it like they do at the World Series of Poker or something, where the money's just on the green.
It's just sitting there, and after the winner makes it, he does a big, you know, stage dive into this mound of cash.
Yeah, he Brandy Chastains right into the cash.
Yeah. And okay. Golfer Gal is parading around in the Granddaddy championship belt. I'm in on that event.
Favorite wrestler growing up?
I'm a Ric Flair guy through and through. I like Dusty Rhodes too, but and you know Ric Flair's kind of stood the test of time, but he was my guy, and that was a little weird because I used to hang around with a bunch of guys that liked all the baby faces, so they always liked Tony Atlas. I grew up in NWA territory or World Championship Wrestling as it became, but I'm still a Ric Flair guy. I've been Ric Flair for Halloween a few times. May do that again this year if I can get Hashtag to lend me some of his hair product.
So,
but Ric Flair all the time, baby.
You have Hashtag in the cage. You have him out. What wrestling maneuver do you put on him to end it?
Well, I thought about this. You'd think you'd catch me off guard here because I actually daydream about this question. And I'm putting him into most likely a figure four. Because even when he submits, I can keep it applied and apply, you know, extreme duration of pain on Chad. And he deserves it. You guys will see this when you hang out with him at the Granddaddy. You'll quickly become Team Harry, just like everybody else does.
Do you ever think while walking around the office, man, I really want to visit Arkansas?
I will take things that have never popped in my head for $1,000, please, Josh. No, I've actually been to Arkansas, and it's a nice place. I don't know why people live there, but it's a nice place.
If Chad's team wins in the King, will you wear his sandals?
No, I would quit and disappear and go like full Ted Kaczynski before I would do that. You would never see me again before I would wear anything that Chad would. You should see what he has on today. You know what I'll do? I will take a picture, start a thread. I don't know how you post these things, but I'm going to take a picture of Chad and send it to you so you can put it in the thread so you can see what this guy looks like on a daily basis.
Are you an ordained minister?
not that I know of.
Could you become one?
What?
Could you become one?
I think I could become one. Are we going to start a new, like, prosumer religion or something that I can be a part of?
One thing that during the whole build up to the King that you can't wait to say to Chad.
Oh, I can't wait, you know, and I'm keeping everything from Chad as far as what the winning team gets, et cetera. So I cannot wait until Chad sees the trophy that we have created for the King. And I can't wait till he sees, I almost gave a little bit away what it's going to be, but I can't wait until he sees it in my possession, which it will be.
What belt means more, Granddaddy or King?
I think the Granddaddy means more. It's you know, you'll see this too. You'll see this too on some of the stuff we're creating for it. But you know, it's really the belt. The King and the history of the Granddaddy. A lot of people don't know the history of the Granddaddy, so when they read the history, they'll know the importance of the belt. Where the King is not as much about a belt, so it's going to mean more to the Granddaddy.
And finally, when we sit down and have this conversation next year in September, among the other radio shows we do, what will you be saying about year two of the five-year war?
I think we're going to look back and say that one of the things about Callaway is we deliver what we say we're going to do. I think people will look back and say, you know, that crazy guy said that they were going to lead in performance across every category. And you'll think of some categories that, you know, we haven't really led in performance. And people are going to say, wow, they really were able to do that. And you know, again, they'll take our word for it. Go out on the golf course with our stuff, because, you know, that total performance that you're going to get from Callaway, I think, is going to play out. So,
well, we want to thank Harry for coming on the show. Obviously, this thing has been full of announcements. You know, Granddaddy coming up back in 2014. We had the King coming up, the Morgan Cup, and so much more. We're obviously going to have him back on again as we get closer. In fact, we have some ideas coming up for Harry and Chad to be on. And basically, they'll have to be in separate rooms, because otherwise they might start fighting. But stay tuned for more. For myself and Harry and Golfer Gal not with us, see you next week.